Mixed martial arts is a sport that is growing more and more popular each year. Many different fighting promotions exist, yet the UFC remains number one. According to Robert Watt, author at Grounded MMA, it is currently valued at approximately $10 billion. Today, we are going to explore fighter pay within the UFC and why I feel that these athletes deserve more money. In addition, I am also going to talk about the costly expenses fighters have to pay. I had the pleasure of interviewing two people who are deeply immersed in the sport of mixed martial arts, and they provided me with a fresh perspective on this controversy and some valuable insight as well. So, let's jump right into it. So, before we touch on why I personally believe that fighters should be earning more money, let's shine a light on what it truly takes to be a professional MMA fighter. These athletes are essentially putting themselves through hell. Having to get punched in the face almost every day while simultaneously maintaining a crazy level of fitness, it's definitely a tough way to make a living. I was able to hear this firsthand from a former fighter himself, Graham Dunn. Being a fighter since 2009, although retired now, Dunn was able to walk me through the daily life of an MMA fighter. Here are some things he had to say.
So, I mean, there's being in shape and then there's fight shape, right? And people don't understand because they think being in shape is like I go for a jog, you know, I lift a little weights, you know, I do some sports or whatever. They don't understand that the level of being a fighter to step in a cage and be able to go for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, right? So it's a whole different level that most people don't know exists. I'd say that the average person who is in reasonable physical condition is a 5 out of 10. Fighters are, you know, 8, 9, 10, right? So to be able to go for 5 minutes straight just throwing dukes, it requires incredible, you know, cardiovascular. And it also requires just an absolute fanatical devotion to your diet, to your training plan and everything else. So, you know, to my point, I always stayed in shape. Like I never got out of shape because I just didn't like having to, you know, puke my way back into shape, right? But when I was to get in like top shape, what I would do is I'd do 6 weeks out. Now, if you were like fat and out of shape, you'd need longer, right? Mm-hmm. But because I stayed in pretty good shape year round, 6 weeks was enough. But for 6 weeks, I was a maniac. Like I'd really watch what I ate. And I train all day and then, you know, fighting and cardio. And my cardio at the time, I was big into CrossFit. I like CrossFit as kind of my cardio workout. But that and outside of the boxing workout or and the grappling workout. So, you know, I go in, I do technique, then I grapple, then I box, then I do some rounds in the ring. Then I do like a 30-minute CrossFit workout on top of that. You know, I would get really angry a lot during my fighting training because I was depriving myself of so many things. Alcohol, you know, eating what I want to eat. And, you know, I get really grumpy. You know, I get really grumpy. But it's hard to keep your head on straight for 6 weeks on that level. I mean, trying to make yourself puke every day in practice. You know, like training to the point where you're trying to make yourself puke every day for 6 weeks and getting punched in the head over and over and over. And I got to tell you, some of my hardest fights have been in sparring. I've had fights where I get in the ring or the cage, and because I box a lot too, before I get in the ring or the cage, where the fight in the ring and the cage was actually not as hard as some of my sparring sessions. You know, so for every fight I had, oh God, I don't know, a couple dozen sparring sessions, hard sparring sessions, right? Maybe 50 or 100. And some of them, dude, were knockdown, drag up, like blood flying and, you know, people getting hurt, breaking ribs and breaking noses and stuff like that. And I've broken a nose going into a fight before, like 2 weeks before, and I had to fight with a broken nose, and that sucked.
I was also fortunate enough to hear the perspective from Brian Parnas, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt who trains with legends of the sport, including former UFC champions Chris Weidman and Matt Serra, as well as current UFC bantamweight champion Aljamain Sterling. He enlightened me on the many sacrifices that these fighters have to make in order to pursue their careers.
The guys that are the pro fighters, not just in the UFC, but also in the minor leagues, the Ring of Combats, the CFFCs, those guys, it's their job. They are training morning, noon, and night. They are, it's jiu-jitsu, it's wrestling, it's boxing, it's Muay Thai, it's sparring, it's weight training, it's dieting. I mean, these guys will walk around, for the most part, maybe anywhere from 15 to 25 pounds, maybe 30 pounds even, over their fight weight. But they still maintain an incredible diet. It's a rough life. I mean, think about your job. If you're getting kicked in the head, you know, three or four times a day, and you know, jiu-jitsu and wrestling practice, it's taxing.
Given all of the factors that go into being a professional fighter, it is safe to say that it is not an easy feat. It requires a certain amount of devotion that only few are willing to give. With some initial context on the life of these athletes, let's now discuss why UFC fighters deserve to make more money. Although the top stars in the UFC are making millions of dollars per fight, unfortunately, that is not consistent with the rest of the roster. According to former UFC fighter Jacob Volkman, they always claim that they treat the fighters so well. Yeah, they treat the top 5% of the fighters well, the ones that are on the main card all the time. They don't treat the rest of them very well. The healthcare plan is horrible, with a $1,500 deductible per injury. The catastrophic injury insurance is not really even good insurance. There is no retirement fund, there's no signing bonus. In addition, Dunn gave me his personal experience with making money as a pro fighter.
I remember them giving us deals on tickets. They'd be like, hey, we'll give you 100 tickets. For every ticket you sell, we'll give you $10. And you're like, okay. You know, and you go around pumping up all your friends and buddies trying to get them to buy tickets from you rather than going to Ticketmaster, because that way you make, you know, in the end, I've made $500 or $1,000 or whatever it is.
Got it. Okay.
When you're starting off, I mean, you're looking for every penny. Back when I was doing it, I was surprised at how low they were making, even top level guys. So for example, I trained for a week with Matt Hughes. Did you know who he is?
Oh yeah, of course.
I remember asking him how much he made, and I just remember it being really low. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I was like, wow, really? That was, you made, you know, $100,000 for a title fight or whatever it was.
Yeah, and he was the champion at this point, right?
Right, and that was 2003, I believe, if I recall correctly. And I just remember being kind of shocked by that.
It's a hard truth, but in order to make money in the UFC, you must have a following. Fighters make money based upon their marginal product of labor, or MRP. Dr. Paul Gift is a sports economist with a research focus on mixed martial arts at Pepperdine University, and both a licensed MMA referee and judge himself. He explains that with a higher MRP, a fighter is therefore capable of generating more revenue each time he or she fights. The fans have to be paying to see you fight. The fighters with large audiences receive significantly larger contracts than the average prelim fighter. Young athletes that are early in their fighting careers are putting in just as much work as the top stars and have to pay many costly expenses. In a separate article, Robert Watt also stated that if a fighter happens to compete outside the confines of their own country, their pay is taxed from a range of 10 to 30%. Fight camp can also cost a fighter anywhere from 5 to 10% of their total fight income. Not to mention, they have to pay management fees, travel expenses, pre-fight medicals, coaching, and independent contractor taxes. Parnas also elaborated on many expenses that these fighters encounter.
They have to pay, in most cases, some sort of membership or fee to belong to all these different disciplines. You know, think about a regular gym membership might be $200 a month. Well, they've got their jiu-jitsu gym, they have their striking gym, they might have a wrestling coach, or they do privates with a wrestling guy. They have nutritionists. Everybody's got their, everybody's, it all costs.
the cost of doing business for a fighter, and you're talking about guys that aren't making a lot of money for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the minor league guys, the guys that are are not in the UFC. You know, they're in some cases they're making $2,000 to $3,000, maybe $4,000 a fight, maybe a percentage of the tickets that they sell. So these guys are not making a lot of money, and yet they have high cost of doing business.
Adil Khan, author of many articles on republicworld.com, stated that reports claim that in the year of 2020, 36% of fighters in the UFC, which equates to over 200 fighters, made less than $45,000 per year. That salary is an average income in the US. With having to pay for equipment, gym memberships, coaches, and more, it's no secret that fighting professionally is costly. These athletes deserve more money. Well, that is going to wrap things up for me. Today, I brought you my opinion on why I personally feel that UFC fighters should be paid more. These athletes sacrifice so much to entertain people like me, and sadly just aren't compensated fairly. Thanks again to Graham Dunn and Brian Parnas for the great interviews. Thank you all so much for listening, and have a good one.